Good morning. Today's just really kind of fallen into place here, and we had Dennis talking about the scripture in Exodus and talking about Angie and Eddie and lowering mountains to anthills. And this morning when I got here, we were trying to get everything figured out as to how we're getting to teen serve. And this last week, we thought we had a trailer, but then we didn't. And then I said, oh, we can fit all the students. We're good. And then one of the students that was going to be there was already is here. So now we have an extra seat and all these things. And everything's working out right now. So these mountains that, you know, I see when I get here and are being lowered to anthills. And then Paul, who's teaching now, was talking about just being still and knowing and trusting in God. And then we sing, Savior, you can move the mountains. And all this ties into exactly where I'm going with our message today. And we're going to continue this series of All In. And we're going to be in the book of Mark for our first scripture here. And if you want to turn there, it's Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And while you're going there, when you guys came in, you got your bulletin. And you should have had one of these little 3x5 cards in there. That is for something here at the end of the service, and I'll explain that here in a little bit. If you need more than one, I'm going to set some up here, and I'll explain that here in a while. But hold on to those. You'll want them here in a little bit. So let's go ahead and read this. It's Mark chapter 12, verse 28 through 34. It says this, one of the scribes approached. When he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, which command is the most important of all? This is the most important, Jesus answered. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. Then the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have correctly said that he is one, and there is no one else except him. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is far more important than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he answered intelligently, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And no one dared question him any longer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just ask that we can be still now and that we can throw off anything that's distracting us and these things that we like to say are mountains, but God, we know that you're in control and you can make them to anthills. And God, we just ask that you can bless the scripture and that as we look through this, our eyes can be opened and our hearts can be open and receptive to this. And God, we just ask that you can move in us and really show us what the word's saying to us. And just thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship in your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we really dig into this study and look at this second part of this series called All In, Pastor Rick covered last week, verse 30, and he talked about the heart last week. And this week we're going to talk about the soul and loving God with all of our soul. But before that, let's go ahead and step back a little bit to verse 28. And we're going to look a little bit deeper before we get into the study of the soul and look at this. So we have one important thing to look at in this scripture, and it's the reason behind this question that we see issued in verse 28. And it's here at the end. He says, which is the most important commandment of all? Right before this, Jesus is debating with some Sadducees, because they're so sad, you see. okay, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, and they're trying to stump Jesus with this question about this man who has had this woman who has been married seven times, and they ask, who will her husband be in heaven? And he uses the occasion to teach something about the nature of heaven and to tell them that they've got two major things wrong. And first, they don't truly understand and know the scriptures and what it's saying there. And secondly, they don't understand the power of God, much like we've talked about a couple times this morning already. So It's important because this next question here in verse 28 arises because there's a lot of confusion about what's really important in life. Take note here that in this scripture, he says, he notices that Jesus answered them well. Okay? That's important. And the question, what is really important though, is asked here at the end, and which command is most important of all? Some versions read the first command of all, but this is a legitimate question for a couple reasons. And in the Old Testament Torah, the first five books of the Bible, or the books of law, how many commands are there issued? Anybody know? Who said that? Good job. 613 commands. Okay, that's enough reason to have a little bit of confusion, but some of those commands that are issued in these first five books are things like, do not pick up grapes in your vineyard that have already fallen on the ground, and to leave them for the poor. Okay, that's a command. Not to wear a garment. Women should not wear garments made of both wool and linen. Do not plow with a donkey and an ox at the same time. Okay, these are laws that are given. So when he says, what is most important of all, Jesus' response also comes from the Torah, okay, our key passage for this series. And in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, it reads the same as verse 30, and it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So you might ask why I'm bringing up kind of this backstory before we dig into what it means to love the Lord your God with all your soul. Well, because much like the Sadducees, we're confused about the scripture and the power of God. We too have a lot of distractions. Amen. As believers, sometimes we get confused about the scripture and the power of God because of these distractions. We sometimes lose focus on what truly matters when it comes to how we live our lives. I'm sure we're not really focused on those 613 laws in Old Testament in the Torah, but our distractions come to us on a daily basis through false teachings and mass in our everyday lives. So, as believers, just a couple examples, we've listened to a teacher claim that hell is not real and then make him a best-selling Christian author. Okay, his name is Rob Bell. Okay, as Christians, sometimes we're more concerned about our social status than our church attendance. We're more focused on our daily to-do list than getting in the Word daily. And this just blows my mind. As Americans, we spend an average of 10 hours, 39 minutes a day of screen time, whether that's TV, internet, phone, computer, tablet, 10 hours and 39 minutes a day. So much like the scribe who's asking Jesus the question of what command is most important, we too need this answer that he gives us of love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And last week, Pastor Rick covered the first of these four commands that are issued in verse 30, and he talked about loving the Lord our God with all of our heart. And he talked about loving with our affections and our passions and our emotions, and we love because he first loved us. And as I was getting this sermon prepared, I was kind of nervous because covering soul, that's like harder to understand for me. Like heart, I get that, you know, I've got a heart. Mind, I think I get that. Strength, you know, I got that. I'm surprised Rick didn't ask me to preach on that one, but but how does this all tie together, and what exactly does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your soul? And you know, how does it tie into Pastor Rick's teaching to love the Lord with all your heart? And then it hit me, heart and soul, that awesome Huey Lewis and the News song, right, from the 1980s? Heart and soul, da-da-da-da-da-da, right? You know it. So I told Michelle I was going to sing that, and she advised me that's not a good idea. So sorry, I just did it. She's probably hiding somewhere. Anyways, so what is soul? So we're going to look at just a definition of soul and what that means. So, soul is defined as the spiritual or immaterial part of a human being regarded as immoral. And a person's moral or emotional nature or sense of identity. Okay. To love the Lord your God with all your soul means to love him with everything that we are. who we are on the inside, or who we say we are to our friends, or who we are when nobody else is looking, and who we are when the kids go to bed, and who we are when we go to work, or when we get angry or frustrated or upset, and who we are when we're scared of facing what tomorrow might bring, and who we are when we worry, okay? All of our soul, all of our inner being, that is what it means to love the Lord your God with all your soul. So for many of us, loving God with that, loving God with the soul that fears and the soul that has all these things going on, that's a scary place, okay? We don't want other people to see us for you know, what we really are sometimes. And what would they say if they know who I'm really like on the inside? And here in the Bible and throughout Scripture, we're told to love the Lord your God with all of that. Love the Lord your God with all that hides these dirty things sometimes that we don't want people to see. That's tough. Okay, that's intimidating. But at the same time, throughout Scripture, we're given aid and encouragement when it comes to loving with our souls, laying down our issues before Him and our concerns and fears before God, laying them down at His feet to focus our weary souls to Him and in a relentless pursuit of loving Him with our souls. In Matthew Henry's commentary on this piece of Scripture, he said, "Love is the leading affection of the soul." Love is the leading affection of the soul. The souls are made to love, okay? The love of God is the leading grace in the renewed soul. Where this is not, nothing else that is good is done, or done aright, or accepted, or done long. Loving God with all our heart will effectively take us off from and arm us against all those things that are rivals with Him for the throne in our souls. Okay? Love. Love is the leading affection of the soul. Okay? Loving God with all our hearts will effectively take us off and arm us against all those things that are rivals for Him in the thrones of our souls. Okay? We're made to love. Okay? We are created to love. That is what our souls are made to do, and renewed souls, souls made new, are made to love. Okay, it's the natural response to love God. And it's echoed as we read 1 John 4:7-19. It's going to be up here in a second. You can turn there. And it reads this. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who has love has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Love consists in this, that, or not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and His love is perfected in us." Now, verse 13, it says, "This is how we know that we remain in Him, and He is in us. He has given assurance to us from His Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in Him and He in God. And we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. For we are as He is in the world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears not, or fears, has not reached perfection in love. We love because He first loved us." You see, when we house up in our souls all these issues and these fears and concerns and these problems in our lives, and we have nowhere to take them, it makes love difficult because we have fear. Loving the Lord your God with all your soul. Well, that requires an action from us to love him with all of our soul. And it requires us to give these things over to him, okay, to lay them down at his feet. And you see, turning our issues and fears over to him, that's what allows us to express this love through our soul. Love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Okay, Christ wants us to have confidence in the day of judgment, not fear in the day of judgment. And how do we do that? Verse 18, it said, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. Okay, a big word right there. What is it? Somebody say perfect. Perfect, yeah. I didn't hear anybody say it. So the big word here is perfect love. Okay, show of hands, how many of you guys love perfectly? Amen. Okay. We may think that we're an awesome husband and we love our wives and we show them the best love that we can, but perfect? Okay. We are called to love our wives like Christ loved the church. Okay. That's a big calling, right? Perfection. Okay. And wives, you may love your husbands with everything you have, but perfection, perfect love. Okay. Perfect love is from God. Okay. And that's the one we're called to love with all of our souls, the one who created us for this love. Perfect love drives out fear. It drives out the doubt. It drives out the concerns. It drives out the issues in our lives that have made their home in our souls, that have taken over this crown that Henry referenced, and this throne of our souls. Okay, and when we talk about souls, we're going to look at another verse here, and we're going to look at Psalm 42 in a minute. And it talks about this yearning and this thirst for God, for our souls, to long for him, to take everything we are to him. And we sing this song that comes from the 42nd Psalm, and it's as the deer. And when we sing it, it's sung all soft and sweet, and it's a beautiful song. But when we read this scripture, it shows a man who is down, okay, a man who's depressed, okay, a man whose soul is wrecked, okay, who has let his issues and circumstances take root inside his soul. But this man knows the answer isn't found anywhere except seeking God, okay, loving God and turning things over to him. And go ahead and pull up that scripture there. It's Psalm 42. It says this, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while all day long, people say to me, where's your God? As I remember this, I pour out my heart, how I walked with many, leading the festive procession to the house of God with joyful thanks and thankful shouts. Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior, my God. I'm deeply depressed. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and the peaks of the Hermon. Peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers, all your billows have swept over me. The Lord will send his faithful love by day. His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about in sorrow because of the enemy's oppression? My adversaries taunt me as if crushing my bones, while all day long they say to me, where is your God? Why am I so depressed? Why this turmoil within me? Put your hope in God, for I will still praise him, my Savior, my God. That's a broken man. That's a depressed man. That's a man that sees these mountains and is broken. Okay? Why this turmoil within me, he's asking. I'm deeply depressed, he cries out. And we become like this sometimes too, when we don't love with all of our souls, and when something else is taking his place in our souls, and when we're too tough to say, God, I'm giving you this addiction that hides in our souls, because we think we can fix it ourselves. Okay? Or when we cram so much into our souls, there just isn't enough space for God, he talked about, you know, his 4-H projects and all these things going on, and you know, and that's just the way we are. It's, you know, it's, I mean, with this club that I'm in and the meeting I have to go to and all these activities for the kids, and I'm wondering who got kicked off whatever island's the big show on TV now, and making sure I'm all caught up on the weekly gossip before I head back to work, and do the kids have the newest fidget spinners, and I need to check the score of the game, and in case somebody asks me, I just got to check this text message right now. And this list goes on and on. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still. Be still and know that I'm God." When we look at the psalmist in chapter 42, or in Psalm 42, he's not playing with a fidget spinner. Okay, he's not talking to his coworkers about what's going on. He's not taking meds. He's not going to a psychiatrist. What's he doing? He's slowing down. He's being still, and he's seeking God. Okay, he knows God is the great physician that can heal him. The guy says, "My tears have been my food day and night." How many of us have felt that way? That's a deep place. Okay, that's sad. That's some serious stuff. Okay, that's stuff that can bring us down. Stuff that can replace love in our souls, okay, with hatred and deception. But no, not going to happen. Not going to happen when people question where his God is. Nope, he seeks him. Okay, if we want to love with all of our souls, it can't be full of doubts. It can't be full of fears. We turn those over to perfect love, and it drives out the fear. The kind of love that we find on the cross. It's almost cliche to quote John 3:16, you know, sometimes, because it's like the verse. But for God so loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That scripture alone should drive out our fears, should drive out doubts and concerns that are hiding within our souls. Perfect love is found on the cross. Loving God with all of our souls just isn't possible without the cross, with perfect love. We've done a lot of youth events before, and one thing that sometimes they do is this really neat thing, and it's what we're going to do, and it's probably going to be uncomfortable for some of you because you're going to get up and move around, and you're going to come up front here. It's okay. You can do it. But you have your cards here, right? If you have one, good. If not, there's going to be some up here. And I have pins up here, too. How convenient. But we're going to do this little exercise here, and it's a lot like what we've been going through here. And what I want you to do is on this 3x5 card or 4x6 or whatever it is, I want you to write down what one of these things are for you, what one of these distractions are, what is something that's housing up in your soul right now. And what we want to do is we want to lay it down at the feet of God, and we're going to turn this over to the cross. And I'm going to set this basket up here, and we're going to put it right here at the bottom of the cross. And why? Because that's where perfect love is found. That's where our souls can fully love Christ. When we turn these things over, these things that are taking place in our hearts, turn them over to the feet of Jesus. I want to just close here, and we're going to sing these simple words, and they're going to be up on the screen behind me here in just a second. We're going to sing them. I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to have a few minutes of silence. I want you guys to write those things down. If you don't have enough, or if you only have one for your family, there's some up here, but I want you to write those down and put them in this basket. And earlier I had said that we house up in our souls our issues, our fears, our concerns, and our problems, and we have nowhere to take them. It makes love difficult. So if we truly want to understand what it means to love the Lord your God with all of our souls, we have to empty our souls of these things that are taking his spot. So I said that requires an action. So this is your time to have an action. And if you're not capable of walking up here, you can write it down and hold it up, and I'll come get it. But it requires an action for us to give those over to him and to lay them down at his feet. You see, turning our issues over to him and our fears over to him, that's what allows us to express this love to him with our souls. So let's sing this, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're just going to have a few minutes of silence, and I want you guys to just file up and turn those things over to him, and I'm going to turn those over, and I'm not even going to mess with reading all of them, but I'm going to have the elders pray over those with me before we leave today, and just pray that we can turn these issues over to God, and that we can empty our souls so that he can take place there. So.